koryštou.
Áno.
Cody Stowe, good evening.
Good evening, Cody Stowe.
We'll be Cody starting Stowe. Shortly.
Gabriella.
How are you?
Doing good.
Just finally finishing up one computer thing so we can begin. This is a study of the Deep Zohar class on Parashat Vayera from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar. We're in section 13 and we're going to start with Pasuk 192. After we say L'Shem Yehud. L'Shem Yehud Kud Shabarichu Ishkinte Bidhilu Urchimu Udhilu Udhilu Urchimu Leachta L'Shem Yudhe Bavavhe The Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah Lasok Torah Mitzvah Vayehino Amadunai Elohinu Aleinu Maasei Yadenu Konenei Aleinu Maasei Yadenu Konenehu Amar Rabbi Abahu Anshama Omedet Bim Koma Wayehi Yerea Yehit Kare Velav Velo Mar Lefana Velum Ad Sheyomar Lemtet Sheyagishena Lefana Vitomar Masharatsata Ahidikti Vayigash Avraham Vayomer Ha'af Tispe Tzadik Im Rasha Halila Lecha Vigomer. The translation. Rabbi Abahu said, the soul remains standing in its place and is afraid to come nearer and say anything to him until Memtet says he will present it. Then it may say what it wants. This is as it is written. And Abraham drew near and said, will you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Far be it from you to do after this manner. My commentary. With Rabbi Ashlag's comments, the pasuk is clear as written. This is describing the process of the soul rising from the world of Bria to the world of Atzilut. Read the three verses from verse 18, 22 to 26. And I believe that's referring to the Bereshit. Which are in Bria, and which is in Atzilut, is the question that I'm asking. Or is the process mixed within the Torah? Questions, comments, thoughts.
Is this the first time we've heard of Rabbi Abahu?
It is the first time we've heard of Rabbi Abahu. But I think you'll find that it's one of the other rabbis that you're used to, but they've given him a different name to represent the energy that he's dealing with and revealing.
Okay, how are you seeing that it's rising from Bria to Atzilut? What gave you the hints for that?
It's called intuition. There's no real hint. The question is, every verse, when it's quoted in the Zohar, every verse from the Tanakh that's quoted in the Zohar, it usually does not have a, it's not a full disclosure. It's not a complete verse that's being quoted, only a phrase or a partial of the verse. And so if you go look at the verse, and when I do that, I go to the, on the Hashem website, and I go and look up the a few verses around the verse quoted. So I get some verses before and some verses after. And that's something that I was taught as part of your Kabbalistic analysis. And when I did that, it occurred to me, as I'm reading it and making that recognition, and that's why I quoted verse 22 to 26, if you take a look at those, you'll get some insights from your intuition, because each verse in the Torah is dealing with a sephirah. And sometimes they follow one on to the other. They're the same sephirah, and sometimes they jump around. And so it's really getting to, through your intuition and your understanding of experiencing that form of analysis. So it's not something that you could get from this verse directly, but you'll get it if you take a look at the different verses that I've mentioned that the Zohar brings.
Is that Bereishit? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it was one of my tired moments, so I wrote verse instead of Bereishit. I meant to write the verses.
Okay, I wondered if it was the mention of Memtet, because there is what one of the worlds where the different Memtet, angels offer.
Memtet is in charge of the world of Riyah. Hashem himself is in charge of the world of Atzilut. So that could also have been what part of the mental process I went through.
Okay.
It's always bringing many different items from your knowledge of what's said in the particular verses and what's said in the things around it that. And then you bring it all into I use the word gestalt. It just synthesizes. And out comes some thought and some expression. And usually the intuition is right. Meaning when you think about it, you can see a way to track it. But it really has to be a gestalt. It has to be a synthesis of many different components in your knowledge base that you're bringing together to know why you said that or why I said it this time. They put this whole perspective, as we're doing it, so many a verse at a day or a couple of verses a day, so we don't have the full flow. You have to remember what were we talking about? We're talking about the final judgment on a soul, and or it could be that we're talking about the daily judgment on the soul by the spiritual courts. But essentially, the soul has seen all of his notes that he makes every night when he sleeps, and his soul goes upstairs, and he's literally recording all the things that happened to him that day. in a journal. This is a metaphor that the Zohar has brought in another place. So as he records this journal of what happened to his day, he's not just picking the highlights. Every word, every action is being written in this journal. So when on his judgment day, they show him these journals and they put it into a movie of his life. And he goes and watches that in an instant, you know, because it's not, time isn't relative in the spiritual world. So he watches his whole life. And then as part of that life, all of the witnesses that he recorded in his journal that is now in this movie, all these witnesses come forth and testify to the court about what happened. And they're his own words that they're repeating. And he is standing silent. He can't say anything because they're his own words. And everything in the spiritual frame is a level of truth. So now it comes, they've all expressed, all the witnesses have spoken, and he needs permission to speak. But he can't just do it on his own. That's what this verse on a simple level is telling us. He's trying to defend himself. But how do you defend yourself against your own words and what you know to be true? And included in all of that is the witnesses, you know, the thoughts that you had, they came from somewhere. And did you burn those thoughts up? Did you accept those thoughts? Did you put them aside to deal with them later? How did you handle your thoughts? And that's all part of the witnesses. Should I go on, or everybody's contemplating?
I think you can go on.
Pasuk 193. Ulai yesh kamishim tzadikim v'gomer hanshama potachat v'yomeret ribono shel olam shema nitasku benun parashiyot shel Torah v'ach alpi shelo nitasku lishma sakar yesh lahem laolam haba v'lo yikansu legehinom makitiv Batreya, Vayomer Hashem, Im Emtza B'Sodom, Tamishim Tzadikim Wigomer. The translation, perhaps there are 50 righteous within the city. Hence the soul starts by saying, Master of the universe, they may have learned the 50 portions of the Torah. And even though they did not learn the portions for its sake alone, they are still entitled to a reward in the world that is coming and should not be sent to Gehinnom. After this it is written, and Hashem said, if I find in Sodom 50 just men within the city. My commentary. The pasuk is clear as written. There are 54 parashiyot. Is the Zohar inaccurate? Why would Hashem say the word if, which is equal to im, which is aleph mem? Emsa in Aramaic needs to be understood to answer this question. One translation is unified with mother. Does this help or does this confuse? Questions, comments, thoughts.
Well, I always thought there were more than 50. When I do my, what I call my TRD sheets and my phone rules, I have.
There are 54 workshops. That's accurate. There are 54. Because the, if you have 13 months, you have a maximum of 54 parashas, plus the potential parashas of the of Hanukkah Shabbat, Pesach Shabbat, and Sukkot Shabbat, because it is possible for those holidays to have two Shabbats within them.
Are they making a comparison between the way Abraham bargained with Hashem?
Yes. They're comparing the way.
And the witnesses are now, what would I say? Trying to support the soul that's before the court.
Take a step back from what I had said about the witnesses. It's not confusing, it's just a different way of understanding it. So put that out of your mind for the moment. The Abraham is the soul before it's come into the body. After it goes, it leaves this world, it returns to that state. There's no disappearance in spirituality. It's made some tikkunim, it's removed some bread of shame while it was in the body. But essentially, Abraham is the soul before the body, and now Abraham is the soul being judged after the experience of that lifetime. And the Zohar is comparing the way Abraham negotiated with Hashem regarding Sodom and Gomorrah. That interaction is now being presented as the way the soul interacts with the courts. So Abraham's first statement to Hashem is, well, what if there were 50 righteous men? Well, now this Zohar verse is saying the 50 righteous men is referring to what if the soul without the body has learned the 50 portions of the week? But shouldn't it have said 54 is what my question. But essentially, if we just look at the Zohar, it's definitely comparing what Abraham is saying to Hashem as what the soul will say to the court.
Mm-hmm.
But if you take that verse, which is Genesis, I'm not sure the chapter, I think it's this 18, but if you take verse 24 where it says, perhaps, it's really if there are 50 righteous within the city. Well, if we substitute for the word if, which is im, aleph mem, and we say, no, it doesn't mean if, it says mother. If mother is saying there's 50 righteous, or is the, or is Mother the 50 gates is being referred to? How do we understand the verse with the different interpretations of the various Hebrew words? So my comment is really not clear unless you get this additional explanation and take it step by step, because I didn't present it properly. I didn't present it as different arguments, different questions, but they really are.
And is Aim there, is that the Shekinah, or is that Bina? Or could it be both? Being Mother.
Which one are you asking about?
About the aim, the Aleph Mem, taking the place of the word if, being Mother. Could it also be referencing Bina?
Of course, his Mother is the partsuf of Bina.
Okay.
Normally it's called Ima.
Right.
But frequently it's shortened to Im. And yes, it is definitely the 50 gates of Bina, the 50 Partsufim. Or the Partsufim is dealing with the connection to the 50 gates.
Okay.
Should I go to 194?
Unless you want to add something. I'm just shocked that we're learning this after all the times we've read about Abraham bargaining, you know. And here was this other hidden side of Torah.
It's no longer a concealed portion. It's now been revealed. The Zohar has been around. We just didn't have access to it, from the standpoint of we're just learning it now. That's what the purpose of the deeper Zohar classes is, to delve into those levels.
Mm-hmm. I have it also said everything that we're doing in the physical, you know, that there's something happening in the spiritual world too.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think someone else wanted to say something. So,
question.
Go ahead.
Sodom and there's 50 gates of Bina, but there's also the 50 gates of negativity. If you've reached the 50th gate of negativity, then that's why Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed, right? Because in Egypt...
You're mixing some things. There are 50 gates of Bina, and opposite them are 50 gates of negativity. When you reach the 50th gate of negativity, which the children of Israel had reached the 49th gate, and that's why Hashem took us out of Egypt for free. That's why there is no bread of shame associated with the light of Pesach, because the redemption that night was necessary because the children of Israel had reached the 49th gate of negativity. If they had gone to the 50th gate of negativity, they would not have, there's no way out of that 50th gate without the redemption being the final redemption. There are souls who have been caught into the 50th gate of negativity, and they cannot come out until the Mashiach. But what you were mixing is that you were saying Abraham was talking about the 50 gates of negativity. And yes, it is possible, and it can be one of our understandings, that this verse is talking about the 50 gates of negativity, but not that we have reached it, and not that Abraham had reached it, or that was the discussion. Because Sodom had reached the 50th gate of negativity in the physical world. That's why they were destroyed. The generation of the flood had reached the 50th gate of negativity. That's why the flood came. One of the reasons. But you were trying to mix different aspects, because what happened in Egypt and what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah are based on different situations, different frames of reference. That's why I stopped you. But please go on.
Well, that's just trying to get to why Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed because of the negativity. They had reached that this level, and that's why the destruction came. Their physical,
correct.
Their physical dwelling.
Remember a couple of verses back, it said the cry of the righteous, I believe, and Hanok gave us some midrash on who's doing the crying.
That it was one of the daughters of Lot who had been killed by the bee stings for giving someone a loaf of bread, a stranger a loaf of bread, breaking the laws of Sodom. And that was the 50th gate of negativity that Sodom had reached.
Right. Okay.
And when I gave the midrash earlier, I hadn't explained that it was the 50th gate. Okay. We are out of time. So we will do this again tomorrow.
Okay.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Shalom.
Kodesh. Shalom. Shalom Gadol. Kodesh Tov.
Thank you.
Our class tonight be at the writing of GRE. Shalom.
Shalom. Oh.